we just need to keep doing what we're doing. Okay, right, so let's pray, guys. Dear kind and heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for getting us through the day, Lord. Thank you for reuniting us, because it has been something that has been sorely missed by many of us, I believe. So I ask that you fill us with your word. You keep guiding us to truth. For each and every one of us on here, truth is important. An understanding of where we are currently sitting in Earth's history is really important, so that we can grasp hold and know where our true power lies, and that is in Jesus Christ. I ask that you be with us and you bless us as we finish this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, guys. Let's jump on. Let us jump in. We're not in Titus, by the way. I was just opening that. We are actually reading something which is quite funny, because, you know, we do, like, every Sabbath we do a Revelation deep dive. I thought it was funny that we're actually reading about the Sabbath on Friday, which is quite unusual that this book tallies up like that, because it doesn't have a year or anything like that, does it? It's just the date. So obviously at one point when you read this book, it will be pertaining to the day that you're really reading it on. But it was so interesting that we're actually going to read this today on the Sabbath. It's not technically the Sabbath yet, but, you know, we're coming into it, you know. I feel it was quite interesting. So we are reading about Days of Days. Ezekiel 20, verse 20 is the scripture. Sorry, guys. What is going on? That's good. Okay. All right. So we're reading from Ezekiel 20, verse 20, and it says, "And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God." A lot of people, I don't know if you've heard this before, but people will quote Ezekiel in a different way when it comes to trying to do away with the Sabbath. And they will say the Sabbaths, because there were in the ceremonial law and the sacrificial, I think it's ceremonial laws, part of the laws that were given to Moses to write down. There is talk about Sabbaths and new moons and all these things. And people always run to those things and say no, because that law was done away with, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But anyway, this is quite clear to me. I don't know if it's clear to you, and I'll show you why it's clear to me, because it says, "And hello, my Sabbath." Sabbaths come every week. They're once a week. So there's going to be more than one Sabbath, right? So it says, "Hello, my Sabbaths," plural, "and they will be a sign." As I said, if you've been following the Revelation deep dive, if you've been following, guys, what does a seal often symbolize? What does a stamp often symbolize? What does it often symbolize? This is why Ezekiel 20:20 is very, very important to me. Does anyone know a seal? When you have the seal of approval, when you have a seal in back in the day, when they would seal letters, with a stamp and wax, what does a seal actually symbolize? What is it? You guys have got to talk to me. What does a regal? Okay, yeah, it can do. It can do, Lawrence. It can do, Lawrence. I like that. Regal, yeah. A guarantee. Anyone else? If you have a seal, if you have royalty ownership, I agree. Okay. Confirmation, yeah. And I, official, yes, I like it. I like it. The truth. I love it. I love it, guys. So let me just say something quickly. Surely these are all signs. Yeah. So be a seal is a sign of authenticity. A seal is a sign of the truth. A seal is a sign of authority. A seal is a sign of regality. It's a sign. It signifies these things. Are you with me? So a seal is signifying something. You are sealed. You're sealing something. Sealed because of something. It signifies something. If you understand what I'm trying to say, can you put a number one in the chat? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? A seal is a sign of all the things that we just said. Authority, being made official, being made true, being made regal, being made set apart, distinguished, yeah, separated. Okay, guys? So a seal is a sign. A seal is a sign. So when we see in Revelation that there will be people that are sealed, they call them the 144,000 that are sealed from God, yeah, or sealed for God. These people have been signed, or they have a sign on them that signifies something. It signifies something. These people that have been sealed. I don't know if you're with me. So let me just read the verse again. Now that we've established that being sealed is a sign of something, and all the things that you just said, I agree. I think it's a sign of authority, a sign of regality, a sign of truth. The Bible says, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign. The Sabbaths are the sign. So those who are sealed, being signified of something, it must be the Sabbaths. And I'm going to tell you this. This is what I want you to do. Go in the Bible and I want you to find another sign, as in S-I-G-N, that doesn't pertain to the Sabbath. The only sign that God has given in terms of his authority is the Sabbath. Is the Sabbath. And I'll show you why in a minute. So it says, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. The Sabbath is a sign between us and our Creator, because it is the only thing that distinguishes that he is our Lord and our God. Let me show you how it is the only thing that distinguishes that he is our Lord and our God. The only sign that distinguishes that he is our Lord and our God. I'll show you why that is the case. And this is why a lot of people believe, maybe you don't, who are sealed, that the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, they will be Sabbath keepers, guys, because it's the only sign that declares that we have the Lord and God of this earth, this earth. Let's see. In Exodus 20, verse 8, we talk about the Sabbath. It says here, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? Because 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Okay, it tells us here. Why? Because it is his Sabbath, the Lord's Sabbath. Okay, in it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, is and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed and the Sabbath and hallowed it. The only commandment, and you can read all 10 of them, the only commandment that shows you who the Creator is, and why he has the right to declare this day to be his Sabbath, because he made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested and blessed it and hallowed it. This is the only commandment that literally, let me not even do that. Let me go to Exodus 20 verse 20, that it literally, literally does what it says in Ezekiel 20 verse 20, literally does what it says in Ezekiel, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am your Lord, your God. Basically, when we keep the Sabbath, this is a sign. We are waving a flag that we declare this truth. We declare that he is our Lord and our God, because we believe that in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested and blessed it and hallowed it. When we keep the Sabbath, it is our sign. We are set apart. It is our authority stamp that we have on our heads, because we believe he made us. He made us. And you might be thinking, well, that's what all the commandments do. That's what all the commandments say. Keeping all the commandments does that. No, 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 no. Let's go to the first one. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Which God told you that? Which God told you that you should have no other gods before me? We don't know. Thou shalt not make unto them any graven images or any likeness or anything that is in the heaven above or in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Who told you that? Don't know. Don't know, guys. Let's see the third one. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Okay, we have him here, the Lord thy God, but why? Why? Because he won't hold us guiltless. Okay, but why do we need to keep this commandment? The only commandment, and we can go on, thou shalt not kill. Who said that? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Who said that? Thou shalt not steal. Who said that? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Who said that? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Who said that? The only one that tells us who and why we should keep it is the fourth commandment. And as I said to you, we go to Ezekiel 20. And this is why I am a Sabbath keeper, guys. Full fact, sealed, delivered. You will never break me on the Sabbath. This is why I keep the Sabbath. Because Ezekiel 20 tells us that when we do that, we are literally signifying, waving a flag that we believe he is our Lord and our God. We believe in that fourth commandment. We believe he made the heavens and the earth. There's no kind of like, you're not going to break me on this one. Not me. You may think it's different. You ain't going to break me on this one. It's very clear. It's the only statute, the only commandment that literally tells you who and why you need to keep it. Who and why you need to keep it. That's why it's so important. But anyway, let's go to the devotion. You know, Fiend gets passionate, man. You know, Fiend gets passionate about certain things. And as I said to you, the Sabbath is one for me. And as I said, Ezekiel is very clear. We keep the Sabbath because it signifies that we know, not think, not believe, not assume. We know that he is our Lord and our God. It's a sign. It's a sign. It says the Sabbath should be made so interesting to our families that its weekly return will be hailed with joy. Sabbath ain't meant to be boring, guys. I remember going to church when I was younger, and I used to be like, oh my gosh, when is Sabbath over? We'd really not like it. I'm not going to lie. We really didn't like it. But I didn't realize that that wasn't really Sabbath keeping then. But I know what it is now. It says the Sabbath school and the meeting for worship occupy only a part of the Sabbath. The portion remaining to the family may be made the most sacred and precious season of all the Sabbath hours. It ain't about the worship. Well, let me correct myself. Yes, we are meant to worship. Yes, we are meant to praise God on the Sabbath. But you know what is the most important part? It's the portion remaining what you do when you are out of the church. What are you doing? Because this is one thing that I've always kind of like been a bit divisive about in my head. I don't know if it works for you. I don't know what you do, guys. But if you're someone who keeps the Sabbath on a Sunday, do you keep the whole day sacred? As in, do you not go out? Do you not work on the Sunday then? Do you not like buy certain food or, you know, do you not do those things on the Sabbath? Because the whole day is meant to be sacred and precious. But I don't know if you do that. I'm not sure. Let me know if you do. But anyway, it says, in the minds of children, the very thought of the Sabbath should be bound up with the beauty of natural things. How do we get our children involved? It says, happy the father and mother who can teach their children God's written word with illustrations from the open pages of the book of nature, who can gather under the green trees in the fresh, pure air to study the word and to sing the praises of the Father above. We are meant to go outside. We're meant to go outside in nature, be around nature. That's the best place for us to be on the Sabbath, guys. Outside, it says, in pleasant weather, let's parents walk with their children in the fields and groves amid the beautiful things of nature. Tell them the reason for the institution of the Sabbath. What is the reason for the institution of the Sabbath, guys? Describe to them God's great work of creation. Tell them that when the earth came from his hand, it was holy and beautiful. Every flower, every shrub, every tree answered the purpose of its creator. You know, sometimes, sorry, these are the things that I think about sometimes when I'm in nature, guys. I think like this. I think, what if a rose decided it didn't want to be a rose anymore? What if one of these roses, right, out of all the bunch of roses that you see in the fields or wherever, yeah, what if one of them was just like, oh man, this is so ghetto. I don't want to be a rose. I want to be a daffodil. I don't want to be a rose. I'm sick of being a rose because all we do is have thorns on us. All that happens is I see my brothers and sisters being picked by these heathens and I'm sick of being a rose. I want to be a daffodil. What if he was just like, this is ghetto. I'm done. I'm picking up myself. You're going to say, oh, well, they don't have the opportunity to choose. They don't have free will. I know. I'm just being silly here. But what I'm trying to show you is that every other piece of creation answers to its purpose. It doesn't sit there and have these debates as to whether their creator is real, because you know what's going to happen? They're going to die. If they sit there and say, you know what? I'm sick of water. I want lemonade. You know what's going to happen? They're going to die. You know what's going to happen if they say, you know what? I'm sick of soil. Soil makes me itchy. You know what's going to happen? They will not be here. They have no choice but to answer to the purpose of why they have been created. Now, God obviously loved us more than flowers. He loved us more than trees. He loved us more than animals. He loved us more than these other pieces of creation, which is why he gave us the choice to choose whether we wanted to follow his way or we wanted to follow our own way. But you know, the beauty in following him is that just like all of the other pieces of creation, if we answer to our purpose, we will live. We will actually live and we will actually be the best version of that created being. Because as I said to you, the reason why the rose is so beautiful is because it does as it is told. It blossoms in the sun, it drinks water, and it minds its business. The reason why we sometimes fall and we mess and we have issues in our lives is because we're not answering to our purpose in some way, shape, or form. In some way, shape, or form, guys. It says, show that it was sin that marred God's perfect work, that thorns and thistles, sorrow, pain and death are all the result of disobedience to God. Bid them see how the earth, though marred with the curse of sin, still reveals God's goodness. Sorry, guys, I don't know if you know this, but roses weren't meant to have thorns and thistles. We weren't meant to have things like poison ivy and things that are going to bring us, how can I explain it, bring us harm in nature. Animals weren't meant to eat animals. Don't know if you know that. I don't know if you know that. Animals weren't meant to eat animals. Thorns and thistles were not meant to be existing. We were meant to have, everything was good, guys. Everything was good before sin came and corrupted the world. And as we've just read, it says that even though sin has come and tainted what was good, we can still see how beautiful a rose is. Even with its thorns, we can still see how beautiful certain animals are and how amazing they leap and they, you know, stride, even though they don't act according to what they were really made for. We can still see God's goodness. It says, if we can cultivate within us a beauty of soul corresponding to the beauty of nature around us, there will be a blending of the divine and human agencies. Again, this is why the Sabbath is important, for us to get out there and for us to look at what God has done and how he shows up in nature, so that we can dream and strive to have that same beauty, cultivate that same beauty in our souls, in our bodies, in our minds. It says, as the sun goes down, let the voice of prayer and the hymn of praise mark the close of the sacred hours and invite God's presence through the cares of the week of labor. I think we do that. I think when we come here on a Sabbath and we read Revelation, we always pray about the week ahead, don't we? Or I always pray for you guys for the week ahead, because we've got through a week, which is amazing. But we know that that is just one down more to go, right? God willing. We know that's one down more to go. So there's going to be a week of labor ahead. We know we're going to go into another week of labor. So we have to ask him to be there with us. It says, thus parents can make the Sabbath as it should be. What should it be? The most joyful day of the week. They can lead their children to regard it as a delight, the day of days, the holy of the Lord, honourable. I remember, as I said, growing up, the Sabbath was horrendous. I'm not lying. We'd want to stay in. We knew that all the best cartoons were on a Saturday. I don't know if you, any Sabbath keepers growing up, guys, all the best cartoons growing up were on a Saturday morning. We were tired from school all week, right? And we did not want to go to church on a Sabbath morning. We didn't want to do it. So it was a lot of tears sometimes, a lot of crying, a lot of moaning. You get up, go to church, come back, and you'd be just waiting for the time to tick, 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 tick. Mum, Sabbath finished. When sunset? That's the only words we knew on a Saturday. When sunset? We knew when sunset started and we knew when it ended. We didn't know anything else. Ask me what the pastor said. Me no know. Ask me when sunset is. 5:59. Like, I knew when sunset was setting. And it became such a chore, to the point where, you know, as I said to you, like, it wasn't enjoyable. And even coming back into the faith in my older years, it was a day where I struggled, guys. I really struggled. I saw it as, oh, it's not really that important. What's the big deal? It's just one day. It's just one day. It don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. And do you know when it really hit me? Do you know when the Sabbath really hit me, guys? When I was working and my business was thriving at its peak, okay? Thriving. I was working 15, 16 hour days, barely sleeping, not eating well, overweight, frumpy, very, very sick. I'm telling you, very sick. And I was like, I just need one day. I just need one day to give myself a rest. I wanted one day just where I just didn't do any work. One day where I could just wake up and do what I want to do, not necessarily do orders. And I felt guilty that I wanted this one day. I felt like, what's wrong with you? Your business is doing so well. Why would you want a day off? Keep going, keep going, keep going. And when I realized then in that instance that the Sabbath was made for us, it ain't made for him. He's good. I think we really think God needs us. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He don't need us, guys. He doesn't need us to obey these commandments. He doesn't need our praise and our worship and our glory and all this stuff. He doesn't need it. He wants it, but only because in doing these things, we actually help ourselves. We actually help ourselves. And I'm telling you, the day that I said, I'm going to keep the Sabbath, I'm going to keep it. I look forward to Saturday. Saturday is my favorite day of the week. It's my favorite day of the week. I don't do nothing. Don't call me. Don't text me. Don't ask me to go nowhere. It ain't happening. And I look forward to it. And in doing so, I remember that he's given me this day off and I'm thankful. That's how I see it. So I don't even see it as a burden anymore. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that you've given me this opportunity to see it this way, because that is all it is, guys. It is a day of rest. It's a day of rest. It's a day of rest. We all need that. Come on now, parents, parents, fathers, mothers, do you not need one day off where you can just do nothing? Where you can just chill. We all need it. And that's all the Sabbath is, because we are not designed to run 7 days a week, 365 days a year, going, 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 going. We're not designed like that. Yes, we are designed to be workers, but not to the point where we are going to make ourselves ill. He gives us this rest because we truly need it. We truly need it, guys. So, I don't know about you, but today is my day.